Good afternoon. It's 19 minutes after 5 o'clock. This is Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. Today is Thursday, September 26th, 2013. I'm Ed Ronco with Raven News. A federal program that Sitka's school district and the city government rely on for funding has just had its life extended by a year. Congress this week passed a one-year extension of the Secure Rural Schools and Community Self-Determination Act of 2000. That's a long title for a program whose mission is actually pretty simple. Communities like Sitka that are located near national forest land can't collect property taxes from that land. The Secure Rural Schools Act, as it's called for short, is designed to send some money back to those communities. Alaska Republican Lisa Murkowski and Oregon Democrat Ron Wyden, the ranking Republican and the Democratic chair, respectively, on the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, were the co-authors of the measure. Murkowski says the federal funding program is an annual concern that she hears from residents of Southeast.
So making sure that we have an opportunity to at least give certainty to our communities in the Tongass for secure rural schools funding for FY14, this was critical. This is vital, and I can share the good news that we've got funding for this next year. $16 million will be coming to the state again.
The extension continues payments for 1 year at the same level as last year. The Sitka School District has counted on the funds in years past to make ends meet. The city also receives the money for road projects and recreational improvements. Murkowski says the extension buys some breathing room to work on a longer-term reauthorization of the program.
This is a time of tough budgets, and we're all being very pragmatic about it. So how we move forward with this in finding a permanent solution is going to be important. Know that that is what we're doing, but right now we've at least been able to buy an additional year of certainty to our southeastern communities.
The bill next goes to the president's desk for his signature. It's easy to argue that the healthcare industry is an important part of Southeast Alaska's economy. Hospitals are major, if not the largest, employers in many of the region's communities. And then there are other services, like air ambulances and clinics. But while some operations are expanding, others are cutting back. And that has left some medical staffers without a job. For 7 years, Gail Karras worked in one of the best offices in the world. At least that's what she'll tell you.
I get to see the mountains, and I get to see the glaciers, and I get to see animals, and we can take pictures if it's on a leg of the flight that we don't have a patient.
Karras is a flight nurse for SEARCH, the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. It's her job to travel with and take care of patients as they medevac to Anchorage or Seattle, either 600 miles northwest or 800 miles southeast. But on September 30th, she's losing that job.
They brought us into a meeting in our office and told us that that we cost too much.
SEARCH changed the way it provides medevac services, and its flight nurses were given a choice. Look for a new assignment within the regional healthcare provider or find a job elsewhere.
And what I want to do if I can't fly is it would be emergency medicine. I've done critical care. I've done medical surgical nursing. I've done supervising, and I've done day surgery stuff. And I don't really want to go back to those things, so I would want to work in emergency medicine. There are no current emergency medicine jobs available at SEARCH.
SEARCH is arguably Southeast Alaska's largest private employer with 836 people region-wide. More than half of those work in Sitka. But a huge portion of SEARCH's funding comes from the federal government, or it did, before automatic budget cuts known as sequestration took effect. SEARCH blames those federal cutbacks for a series of changes it has made in the last several months. It closed its residential substance abuse treatment program. It put an indefinite hold on its community health aid training. Its Front Street Clinic in Juneau was targeted for closure and has only stayed open through independent fundraising.
You make the hard choices now, so the future choices will be more clear-cut.
Charles Clement is the CEO.
When we're forced to look within to decide what it is that is most in alignment with our core mission and vision, I mean, that's really the struggle. And I can tell you, I think it doesn't come down to one person making a decision. It doesn't come down to two people making a decision. It doesn't come down to people making decisions in haste. It comes down to lots of conversations and lots of very difficult conversations.
Clement says the conversations at Search are changing, though.
From what it's going to take for us to survive, which is the conversation we've been having for the last X many months, years, to what it's going to take for us to thrive. And that's something I'm really happy to be talking about.
Just a couple miles from Search's Sitka campus, the picture is a little rosier.
Our employment has grown 15% since 2009.
Hugh Hallgren is the administrator of Sitka Community Hospital, a 12-bed facility owned by the city. Back then, it had about 150 full-time equivalent employees. Now that number is closer to 175. The hospital has emphasized growing its outpatient business and added other services, too.
Neurology, urology, cardiology, just to name three. Plastic surgery is a big crowd pleaser here.
That's reconstructive surgery as well as cosmetic, Hallgren adds. Comparing Search and Sitka Community Hospital is comparing apples to oranges. They're funded differently, they serve somewhat different populations, and one is much larger than the other. But still, two hospitals in the same town with different economic pictures at least illustrates how hard it is to track the healthcare industry. Here's what we do know. Last year, more than 3,200 people worked in the healthcare industry in Southeast Alaska. That is up 4% since 2010. And the industry pays out more than $162 million in wages to its employees in the region. That's also up from 2010 by about 9%. To understand economic impact, analysts look at something called a multiplier. It's a measurement of where the money goes after it's spent in the region. You take 10 bucks you made and spend it at the grocery store, which then pays it to one of its employees, who then spends it at the drugstore, which, well, you get the picture. Jim Calvin is with the Juneau-based McDowell Group.
We have relatively low multipliers in most sectors of the Alaska economy because we manufacture very little. All of the food and clothes and furniture and cars that we consume are manufactured outside of our state. So money leaves pretty fast, but still it does spend a little bit of time in our local economies and creates additional jobs and additional income.
So money leaves pretty quickly, and painting a picture of the exact economic impact of healthcare on the economy in Southeast is really difficult. Still, Calvin says one thing is clear.
It's been one of the fastest growing sectors in the Alaska economy for the last 10 years. Will it continue to grow at that pace? Probably not, but we do expect that as the overall population increases and as the senior population in particular grows, that we'll see increasing healthcare-related activity in the economy.
Okay, so now that we know all of that, what does that mean for someone like Gail Karras, the flight nurse we met at the beginning of the story?
If I can't get a job here in Sitka, I have a couple of options. I can become a travel nurse, or I can move away from Sitka. I would rather not move away from Sitka. I really like living here. But if that's what the future holds, then that's what I'll have to do.
And our series on healthcare in Southeast Alaska will continue tomorrow and actually into next week with a story on Monday. We're going to stay in the healthcare realm for a little bit as we move on to our next story, but this is a statewide issue. The nation's new health insurance exchanges, or marketplaces, go online October 1st under the Obama administration's Affordable Care Act. Alaska is one of 27 states that chose not to create its own exchange with the help of federal funding. Alaskans will be able to access state-specific plans and other information through the federal government's marketplace website. It's healthcare.gov. Alaskans' options on the exchange will reportedly include plans from Primera Blue Cross and Moda Health, but they will still be able to shop for plans from companies that are not on the exchange as well. KFSK's Matt Lichtenstein spoke recently with Susan Johnson. She's the regional director for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
So what does the exchange or the marketplace, I understand those are kind of interchangeable terms, what does it actually provide?
it provides a place, a single place in each state where plans that are qualified health plans that have the 10 essential health benefits, things such as prescription drug, hospitalization, ambulatory care, maternity, a whole list of 10, that they have put forward their plans in each state. So those will be available for comparison. Any plan inside the marketplace has to match those requirements, but they can be different structures. So there can be different copayment levels, different premium levels. So people will be able to shop and see which plan fits their pocketbook the best. Also, going through the marketplace is the only way you can access tax credits that are available to help people with incomes between 100% of the federal poverty level and 400% get a reduction in either those copayments or the premiums so that they can afford the plan that fits them. And that those are people we're talking in Alaska. That's for a family of four, it's about $29,400-ish to $117,700. Those families will be available for tax credits within the marketplace to purchase a plan.
So would the, is the marketplace worthwhile for somebody who knows they're not going to qualify for a subsidy or a tax credit? Is there a benefit there other than the seeing the couple of the plans that, that qualify or are part of the marketplace?
Yeah, it's absolutely beneficial for anybody to go to the marketplace and just nose around. It's just like you would do in a storefront. You want to go see what's available, and what the offerings are there are transparent. They're comparisons of apples to apples because the contents of these qualified health plans have to be the same, have the same elements, so you know what you're looking for. And the transparency of being in a marketplace in any of the states right now is to the consumer's positive situation because that's where the tax credits are available. So even if you know you're not available for tax credits, you know, if your income is so low, you might be eligible for an exemption. You're going to find that out at the marketplace as well. You're not going to find that out outside the marketplace.
When people look on the marketplace, they're only going to see the plans that qualified. I believe in Alaska, there's just two that applied, correct? The Primera and Moda Health?
Yeah, I don't think that's been officially announced, but that's certainly the word on the street. Those are what's what are available in the marketplace. There may be other plans outside the marketplace, but again, they're not going to have that same set of contents, nor can you get the tax credits outside of the marketplace.
KFSK's Matt Lichtenstein talking to Susan Johnson, the regional director of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. If you want to hear the longer form of the interview, it's on our website, kcaw.org.